All right, let's see if we can remember how to do this, because it's been a month.
We're back. I think it's been more than a month. I looked, because I was listening to podcasts today. I've kind of fallen off of it. And our last episode was December 18th. So it's been at least a month and a half.
Ooh.
But we're back, ladies and gents. It's Hereditary. This is Caroline.
And Haley.
And we are back just in time for the sappiest commercialized holiday that's ever existed. Valentine's Day! Which this will be released on Valentine's Day. It's Monday right now. Yeah, we never really celebrated Valentine's Day when I was younger. I mean, I was single most of the time, but...
I mean, I'm still in that boat, so, you know. Yeah. We did the whole, like, class Valentine's. You get the pack of them and give them out to your classmates. Like, everybody got one.
I loved doing that. I wish I could remember the really good ones. I know I've done Scooby-Doo before. But, yeah, my dad was always big. I don't need one day to tell my wife that I love her. I should tell her that every day, which I think is sappy and cute. So it's just never been something that I've really thought about celebrating.
See, we've gotten something from our dad almost every year.
Aw, that's like, so sweet.
Like, we were getting stuff through my college program. He would always get, like, a little stuffed animal, or I got flowers when he was overseas, that kind of stuff.
Aww.
So, yeah. He doesn't do that anymore. He doesn't love us. It's fine.
You'll hear this.
But, yeah, we always used to get those little, like, the Walmart stuffed animals that had, like, little heart. It was, like, the dogs and the bright colors and whatnot, those.
I just want to go to the store on the 15th and buy all the discounted candy. That's what I'm here for.
I say I'm going to do that every year, and I say I'm going to do that the day after Halloween. You know, as a teacher, you want to get all the sweets you can bribe the children with, but I never actually do.
Gonna go ahead, since we're on this subject. I don't celebrate Valentine's Day, but in our hiatus, I went and got a boyfriend. So it has come up if we're celebrating Valentine's Day or whatever. And I think I scared him a little bit because I think I came across super anti-Valentine's Day, which, I mean, I'm not, but it just, the prices are hiked up, but whatever. Anyway, I have a boyfriend now, and you know some of this, but you don't know all of it. Because I decided to take him home this weekend to a Mardi Gras ball. Now, the poor soul has never been to a Mardi Gras ball, but he's from New Orleans, so he does the Mardi Gras thing. It's not like, you know, he's not used to it or whatever. He's already met a bunch of my family, and I didn't really see the need to, like, prepare him to meet anyone else. Everyone that I thought, that I knew was going to be there, he had already met. So I'm like, okay, this is going to be great. We're just going to have a good time. It's a good excuse to dress up. I bought a dress for $32. It looked great. It's going to be fun. We're going to drink, have a good time, and, you know, people will drive us home. It's going to be fun. So we get there, and we're kind of in the back of the line to get in, and I see Haley and I's grandma and our uncle, like, in front of us. So I'm like, oh, great. Like, he'll come into town every now and then to visit with our grandma. He had never met my boyfriend. So I'm like, perfect. Come on. We'll go introduce you. So I introduce them, and they're talking, whatever. And I had known he was in town. And I really did. There was a point where, like, my parents were not in the house. It was just me and boyfriend. And our uncle had texted dad to say, like, I'm going to go over and chaperone them since the parents are not home. So I was really, like, expecting that to happen. I was, like, keeping an eye out the window because I really expected him to pop up because he would do this. So they meet and they talk, and it's fine. It's great. Everything's perfect. We go. We watch the ball. We have a good time. And then you have to come out so they can set up for the party part. So we're talking again, and then I have to go to the bathroom. So I go to the bathroom, and I'm sitting on the toilet mid-pee, and I hear, Caroline. You know how she says our names. Our grandma says, like, our names really sing-songy, so I know it's my grandma. And I'm just like, so I just started laughing. I was like, what do you want? She's like, your uncle's giving him the third degree. And I was like, shit. And I'm like mid-pee, so it's like stumbling around, getting things fixed, fixing dresses, like popping Spanx. You know how it is. I run out. And I'm like, so what's going on out here? And apparently, the minute I turned around to go to the bathroom, our uncle, who has two boys, has no girls, and is, like, one of the most chill people ever, like, didn't think I'd have to bother warning boyfriend about him, the minute I turn around goes, "So you got a job?" "Yeah, I have a job." What about retirement?" Like, okay, which is fine. Like, he's really excited about retirement. That's a good question to ask, actually. And then our uncle, who has, like, is not a violent person, is like, "Why don't you come take a walk with me? I'll show you what, I want to show you what I have in the trunk of my car." And I was like, you don't threaten people. You don't even know him. You just met him an hour ago. What are you doing?
And what does he have in the trunk of his car other than, like, jumper cables?
Like, nothing.
This he is not nothing. The guy who carries around, like, a shotgun or something in the trunk of his car. No. There's no dead body there.
No, we don't hunt. Like, it wouldn't just be in there. So I'm texting his sons about it. We're all in a group message. And they're all like, "Are you sure you're talking about my dad? Like, my dad said that?" And I'm like, "Yes, your dad said that." But the story gets better. And I have to tell that part first. So our uncle, that all happens, whatever. He's had it fairly easy up till this point, except with, you know, one of my other cousins. It's fine. So now at this point, we're at the ball where you have the drinking and the eating and the merrymaking and the music or whatever. We're feeling pretty good. We'd been there for 2.5 hours probably. So, and you're drinking most of the time. So we're feeling pretty good. My dad comes up and he's like, "Hey, my friend wants to meet boyfriend." I'm like, "Okay, yeah, whatever, no problem." And this guy has known me, So this guy, my dad has also known since high school. Like, they're really great, like, they're best friends. They now work together. I've known this guy all my life.
Another fairly mellow individual.
Fairly mellow individual, yes. So we go over there, and apparently before then, my dad had told him, yeah, her uncle just met him and, like, really gave him third degree. And my dad's friend goes, "Oh, okay, good." So I take him over there. I didn't know all this. I didn't know this till after. So I take him over and I'm, like, hugging him. What happens is, like, he hugs me. So he's got one arm, like, around my back and is, like, holding my back. And I feel his other arm, like, go out. And I hear him go, "I swear to God, if you hurt her, I'll cut you." And I was like, "Oh my God, calm down." But I'm like he's hugging me, so I can't see my boyfriend's reaction. I can't see what he's doing or whatever. I find out later, this motherfucker pulled out his knife. He pulled out a knife on my boyfriend. This guy, y'all, is not related to me. He's not blood. And I didn't know this till the next day. Thank goodness. We were, like, kind of buzzed, so he thought it was funny. But me and boyfriend are talking about it, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, the knife was a little bit extreme." Like, and apparently, like, held it at his neck. Like, that's what he says, and that's what my dad says. I'm like, we were all drinking. He was buzzed. You really could have cut him because we were all drinking. Like, what are you doing pulling out a knife in a Mardi Gras ball?
Who it came from, like, I would expect that from your dad's other friend. That kind of, like, harassment. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
I would expect the talk and, like, yes, bringing him to a dark corner, like, yes, that kind of stuff from this one, but not from the other one.
Yes. Like, what?
Which makes me very, very nervous for his daughter.
I know. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, damn, that poor child. But it was very nice because I checked my phone the next day, and at, like, 2:15, he had texted me how much he liked him and stuff, which was cute. But I was like, yeah, I'm really glad you didn't stab him.
Oh, my God.
So.
And they wonder why we were single for so long and why you kept things on the DL about the boyfriend for so long.
I know.
And go figure, it's the ones we didn't think we'd have to worry about.
It is. Like, I thought dad's side of the family would be the crazy ones, but nope, apparently it's mom's. It's our side. So those are just a couple stories to get you into the spirit of Valentine's Day.
God bless.
Can you believe that, though?
Not from those two, no.
No. So, yes, we're back for Valentine's Day. And in the spirit, we thought we would There's a lot of folklore behind Valentine's Day, believe it or not, as commercialized of a holiday as it is. So we decided to do a little bit of research on that and ease you back in with our folklore and start the whole circuit over again. And yeah, we'll be
sort of way. Sort of the circuit. It's going to be a little different from here on out.
Right? Well, it's going to be the circuit is still the same. Like, we were supposed to be doing folklore right now. Mm-hmm. But we are going to be doing every other week now instead, because we want to be consistent with you guys. And I can't speak for Haley, but I am like swamped with work stuff, and I'm just took the GRE, so I'm potentially going back to school. So we figure every other week would be the most consistent, you know, we could do to bring you guys quality content.
To prevent 2-month hiatuses like we just had.
Yes. Yes, to prevent those.
I mean, it was the holidays, and then we were going to New York, and it was a whole lot of stuff going on that we just could not.
It was a lot of
squeeze
stuff.
In.
We spontaneously went to New York, Haley and I, which we posted a picture.
Like, we went for Broadway week, even though we didn't partake in Broadway week.
Did not partake in Broadway week at all.
No, we paid full price for the shows that were not included
in
Broadway week, but they were worth every penny. They were worth it. So it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. Moulin Rouge was good.
Oh my God, I cried.
Oh, good. Yes, Haley wanted to go see Moulin Rouge. I wanted to go see Hadestown, which I also loved. And then Haley also saw Phantom of the Opera.
It was a packed couple days.
It was. They were like, yeah. Yeah, you did as much as you could in a couple days. I'm like, I think I have to say I did as much as I could in a couple of hours. Like, we were there. I think my mom and I went for 48-ish hours.
Not like, even.
No. We were not there very long. But it was really fun. We had a good time. So, yeah, check out. We posted a picture or two on Instagram. Check that out. So, without further ado, unless you have other things you want to add. Have you looked at the script yet?
I'm looking at it right now. Have I read it? No.
Well, if you want to ask
me. Because this was Caroline going, yeah, I want to do Valentine's Day. And have you looked at the script yet? And, oh, while you have time sitting at the airport, you should look at the script. And
yeah.
I didn't even open it until, you know.
I was really mad at you about that. I went and I was like, perhaps she added, like I asked her to, because I've been swamped. And I looked and it's like, nope, the stuff that needed to be added was still there. And I was like, this motherfucker. So, yes, this is my script. So, if it sucks, blame me.
I also apologize in advance because I've had, like, a cough for 3 weeks. So, if I randomly just start coughing, I've been living off cough drops. Caroline had to give me a whole purse load when we were at the Broadway shows because I just did not want to be that person hacking and coughing during the show.
Nobody wants to be that person.
So...
Anyway, yeah, here we are. We're here, guys, and we're so happy to be back. Thanks for sticking with us. We love you all.
Yeah. All right, so up top sources, guff.com, bustlehistory.com, and audubon.org. I did throw up an article during the holidays because there are a lot of holiday-themed monsters talking about Krampus. I'm like, oh, we should do something like that, and then we just, like, a live episode or something while I'm home, and... We just did not because I wasn't home for that long. So I just threw up an article on our Facebook page. You know, I mean, Krampus just had a movie more recently. People know about him.
Yep. It was really cool.
But smaller holidays. We've got St. Patrick's Day coming up. We've got Mardi Gras coming up. And Valentine's Day on Friday. $1 billion industry, but it is a smaller holiday compared to, you know, New Year's Eve and Christmas and Halloween and all that. Some of us prefer to just not celebrate Valentine's Day or acknowledge that it exists, like me and Caroline.
Yes, as Haley said, like, we're just not Valentine's Day celebrators. So if you are, this may unfortunately make you not be someone who wants to celebrate, because when I started reading, like, the history behind it, I was like, it's not really as warm and fuzzy as I initially thought, as Hallmark would lead you to believe.
No, because if they told you the real story, they wouldn't sell as much candy and cards and flowers and everything else.
That's exactly right, but we are here to tell you the real story, so tune in. In honor of Valentine's Day, today, we are going to tell you the real story about the monstrosities behind the celebration. So just grab those chocolate hearts and, like, hold on tight, because that's the best part of the holiday, as far as if you're looking at history is concerned.
All right. So, as I would assume everyone or almost everyone knows, in case you didn't know, Valentine's Day is an annual occurrence every year on the 14th of February. It's never on the 15th or the 13th. It's on the 14th of February. And around the world, people give each other candy, flowers, gifts between romantic partners or, like, if you're lucky enough like me, parents to children. Give them out to your crush at school, usually a little cartoon themed.
Did you ever do secret, like, secret Valentine's?
Oh, everybody did.
I don't know that I ever did.
Well, secret, but yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Or, like, you just would write, like, on your own, like, a secret admirer, and then mm-hmm. you'd get your friend to give it to your crush, and it would be a whole thing. But you had to be stealthy about it, because if you were handing out all the ones that were the same type, mm-hmm. they would know who it was from.
Mm-hmm.
It was a whole thing. It was along with, you know, the dances where you'd have all the girls on one side of the room, all the boys on the other, and your friend would go ask the person that you wanted to dance with to dance with you. It was a great time. Great time to be alive.
Middle school.
And here I am living it every single day. As a teacher.
Yay.
So I get to see the drama on the other side.
Gross.
All right. Anyway. But also coming from Catholic school, we do know about Saint Valentine, but if you don't, there is a saint that's involved with it, and the origins of the holiday do a lot of some of the, most of them have to do with him, but it did come from other places as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's pretty mysterious, its origins, if you don't actually know.
But we actually know, so we're gonna tell you. So February has long been celebrated as a month of romance, and I'll get back to that why, because it's kind of funny. And Valentine's Day itself comes from both the Christian tradition as well as ancient Roman tradition, and we'll tell you a little bit about both.
February is a weird month, one just because of, like, the weird number of days and, mm-hmm. like, leap year and stuff, mm-hmm. but it's also spelled very weird.
It is February.
Brewery,
like,
yes.
Brewery, yeah.
Sounds like you should be celebrating, like, beer.
Every month you should Bruce. Celebrate beer. That is a really good point. Speaking of celebrating
beer.
Everybody
going to a brewery every weekend in February.
Speaking of celebrating beer, did I tell you how pissed Blake is? My brother turns 21 this year. And so when we were looking at the calendar last year, he's like, oh, man, I'm pissed. I'm like, what are you mad about? He's like, next year's a leap year. I got to wait a whole extra day to turn 21. I was like, I feel you, bro. I'm 4 years older than my brother, so I'm like, it was the same for me, bro. It's gonna be fine.
But he's pissed had issues since you guys went to Europe and he could legally drink, and mm-hmm. then he had to come back to the United States and not yeah. so much anymore.
Yeah, it's been really tough for him. Everybody pray for him that he'll make it through the next couple months.
He's gonna make up for it come Tiger football season.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's already pledged to raise that alcohol sale percentage.
Yeah, he might die. So, anyway, the Catholic Church actually recognizes numerous different saints named Valentine, or some variation like Valentinus or Valentina, but coincidentally, the three main ones that we're going to talk about were all martyred, which, if you went to Catholic school, you know what that meant, but if you did not, or if you're just a cultured person, who knows, I don't know, people sometimes know, but a martyr is someone who's killed for their religious beliefs. So the first Saint Valentine we'll talk about contends that he was a 3rd century Roman priest. During that time, Emperor Claudius II was having problems getting men to enlist in his army, and he decided that single men made better soldiers than those with wives and families, so he officially outlawed marriage for young men. Which sounds like the start to, like, a dystopian young adult fiction novel.
I'm just saying, outlawing marriage because you don't want families is a quick way to end the human race. I'm just saying.
Didn't think it through. Okay. So realizing this injustice, Valentine defied the emperor and continued to perform marriages for young couples in secret. When his actions were discovered, Claudius ordered that he be put to death, so he was beheaded.
All right. Off with their head.
Off with their heads.
Okay, St. Valentine number 2 is St. Valentine of Terni. This guy was a bishop, also beheaded by Claudius II outside of Rome. Story suggests this guy might have been killed for attempting to help Christians escape harsh Roman prisons, where they were often tortured and beaten severely. If you think that one or two might sound familiar, you're not alone. Valentine number one was thought to have died around 270 AD, but his true identity was questioned as early as 496 AD.
So his identity was questioned as early as 496, and Pope Galatius I at the time said the martyr and his acts as they were only known to God. They were known only to God. So basically, it was like people knew who he was, but then when the Pope came out and said this, that like no one, basically he's like no one really knows. So then that's kind of where the contention came. But until then, it wasn't really questioned. But the Pope kind of made it officially questioned.
And it is argued, and I can see why, that St. Valentine number one and St. Valentine number two were the same person, because they were both beheaded by Claudius in Rome, around the same time. And enough confusion surrounds the pair that the Catholic Church discontinued liturgical veneration of him in 1969. His name does still remain on the list of officially recognized saints, but because there's they don't know if it's one or two, or it's just, I mean, you know, at that point, it's a lot of telling stories, word of mouth and all that, and things can get misconstrued and lines can get crossed, and you know.
So he's not venerated as highly as he used to be, but he is still officially recognized as a saint, both of them. And if two wasn't enough, there is a third Saint Valentine that is kind of another one they'll talk about. So in yet another legend, Valentine was imprisoned. We're not quite sure why, but it could be because he was helping prisoners escape, like Valentine number two. And as the story goes, he fell in love with a young girl, perhaps the jailer's daughter, who visited him during confinement. Before his death, he allegedly wrote her a letter signed "From Your Valentine," an expression that probably sounds very familiar to you today. So, yes, St. Valentine would have been the first to send a Valentine, if this story has any merit. He would have sent the first Valentine. So those were like the main three that I could find, but in all, there are about a dozen St. Valentines, including a pope. So the saint celebrated on Valentine's Day, or the one that's supposed to be celebrated on Valentine's Day, is known as St. Valentine of Rome, to differentiate him from the dozen or so others. And there are so many because Valentinus, which is Latin for worthy, strong, or powerful, was a popular moniker between the 2nd and 8th centuries. So several martyrs carried the name. So it was just like this title, like this, it showed power in that. It was something people, it's like John, I guess, like something that you were conferred upon to show you were worthy or, you know, honored or something like that, basically.
So the most recent beatification, which is the first step towards canonization of becoming a saint, you're beatified first. Most recently beatified Valentine is Saint Valentine Berrio Ochoa, who was a Spaniard of the Dominican Order that traveled to Vietnam, where he served as a bishop until, again, his beheading in 1861. Man, what? These guys just cannot hold onto their heads, huh?
Cannot. Nope.
Pope John Paul II canonized him in 1988. I took a picture with his wax figure at Madame Tussauds in New York. Both popes. It was Pope John Paul II and Pope Francis. I was like, what's up?
It's like you met him.
Seriously, we're like this now. I'll post those pictures. Yeah, don't worry about it. There was even a Pope Valentine, like Caroline said, but little's known about him except that he served like 40 days around 827 AD. There are some celebrity marriages that lasted about that long.
Yep.
While the true story behind St. Valentine is murky at best, all the stories about him paint him as a heroic, sympathetic, and most importantly, romantic figure. So it's no surprise that his reputation made him one of the most popular saints in England and France during the Middle Ages. The guy we know as the St. Valentine is the patron saint of beekeepers, epilepsy, the plague, fainting, traveling, you know, all the romantic type things. And, of course, engaged couples and happy marriages.
Yeah,
but,
the plague
is... The plague.
Super romantic.
And beekeepers. I mean, we need bees. The world needs bees.
We do. Don't kill bees. Save those bees.
Okay, anyway. And if you're feeling particularly creepy, you can find his flower-adorned skull on display in the Basilica of Santa Maria in Rome. You can find other bits and pieces of his skeleton in the Czech Republic, Ireland, Scotland, England, and France. You know, everybody wanted a piece.
Yep, yep. I loved the Czech Republic. If you ever get the chance to visit, you should go. It's amazing.
I want to go to Prague so bad.
Prague is amazing. You will love it. So, before we get into, you know, actually February 14th, the day, we're going to talk to you about the day. But before that, it's worth noting that you can actually technically celebrate Valentine's Day several times a year, especially because we gave you all those saints that exist. So I'm not talking about, as my dad said, like needing one day, or you don't need one day to tell the person that you love them or that you care about them. I'm talking about that because of the abundance of St. Valentine's Day, or because of the abundance of St. Valentine's on the Roman Catholic roster, you have lots of celebration options. So if February doesn't do it for you, you could celebrate St. Valentine of Viterbo on November 3rd, or St. Valentine of Raetia on January 7th, which is my dad's birthday. The female St. Valentina is celebrated on July 25th, while the Eastern Orthodox Church officially celebrates the saint twice, once as an elder of the church on July 6th and once as a martyr on July 30th. So you've got options all throughout the calendar if you want to use that as an excuse with your significant other. Do with that information what you will. So while some people think that Valentine's Day is celebrated in the middle of February to coincide with the anniversary of Valentine's death, it's much more likely that it was an effort to Christianize the pagan celebration of Lupercalia. Had you heard of Lupercalia?
Yes. Okay. Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Oh, they talk about Lupercalia.
That's right. That's right. Celebrated on the Ides of February, Lupercalia was a fertility festival dedicated to Faunus, the Roman god of agriculture. It was also dedicated to the founders of Rome, Romulus and Remus.
I love the story of Romulus and Remus. Mm-hmm. The festival would begin with members of the Luperci, the order of Roman priests, gathering in a sacred cave where it was believed that Romulus and Remus were cared for by a she-wolf, or Lupa. The priest would sacrifice a goat for fertility and a dog for purification, because dogs are the purest of souls. We don't deserve them.
We don't.
The priest would then cut the goat's hide into strips, dip them into sacrificial blood, and then take their show on the road where they would gently slap women in crop fields with the goat hide. Just come around and smack people with bloody goat's hide. Like, why?
Look, people like what they like, okay? And Roman women actually welcomed the touch because they believed it made them more fertile. So they were, you know, excited about it, for lack of a better word?
Nope. I'll pass. Thanks.
For it, buy it, I don't know. So, later in the day, as the legend goes, all the young single ladies would place their names in a big urn. Haley's doing the single lady dance right now. Then the city's bachelors would pick a name, and in a somewhat intense rose ceremony crossed with, like, the Hunger Games announcement thing, they would be paired with the woman whose name they picked for a year.
I would watch the hell out of that.
I would watch that.
I don't watch The Bachelor, but I would watch that.
You should watch Love Island. It's amazing. Everyone should watch Love Island. And yeah, these matches would often end in marriage. I guess if you're stuck with someone for a year, you're like, hey, might as well.
Oh my God. All right. So, Lupercalia survived Christianity's initial rise, but was outlawed by, Pope Galatius at the end of the 5th century when he declared February 14th St. Valentine's Day. But this wasn't the true beginning of what we know as Valentine's Day.
So, during the Middle Ages, it was a common belief in England and France that February 14th was the beginning of birds' mating season. Remember I mentioned February is a romance month? We're circling back to that right now. So, it was even believed that the first birds you saw on Valentine's Day would give you insight into what type of person your future life partner would be. So, bird mating season started in February, time of romance. That's why February is always pink on every calendar that you open ever. So, if you want a little insight into who your future partner will be on Valentine's Day, go outside and go bird watching, and I will tell you the birds to look out for. So, goldfinches are a sign that pure gold is headed your way. The yellower the feathers, the richer the mate. So if you're looking for a sugar daddy, seek out the goldfinch in weedy fields munching on sunflower seeds. Or if you live in New Jersey, Iowa, or Washington, you may not have to go far because the goldfinch is your state bird. So if you're looking for someone with money, look for a goldfinch. If you're looking for a kind lover, look for blackbirds. The bird's glossy black garb reflects spirituality and charity. You can find the blackbird on busy streets, parks, or coastal grasslands. They cope well with humans, which is more than I can say for myself sometimes. If you wake in the early morning and catch something like an eagle or a falcon, you could be destined for a powerful personality. Birds of prey represent power, so you may end up with a business person or a politician. Nuthatches, somewhat surprisingly regarding the name, represent knowledge. If you run into these clever little creatures, it means you're destined for someone intelligent. You can find these little geniuses in mature woodlands where they forage on tree bark, which they often do upside down and sideways. If you see a bluebird, your significant other likes to make people laugh. If you see a duck, which is what I would see, or a goose, but I don't have a goose, your relationship will be stable and homey. A sparrow reveals that your significant other works with the land, so it will be someone like a farmer. Unfortunately, it's not necessarily a pirate. If you see a dove, your marriage will be happy. If you see a canary, your significant other is involved in healing, like a doctor. If you see a turkey, which if you guys walk outside and the first bird you see is a turkey, I want you guys to email us, itshereditarypod@gmail.com, and tell me where you live. And also send
me
a picture.
They're in the Carolinas, in like Tennessee.
Walking out and immediately seeing a wild turkey?
Yeah.
Immediately. The first bird you see is a turkey.
Yeah.
Says who?
Says my former coworker that lives out there, and she takes pictures of the turkeys in the morning.
We'll tell her I want to send her a picture so that we can post that, because that's amazing. So, her significant other probably loves nature and is passionate about the environment. And if you see a swan, your significant other will be a creative personality like a writer or an actor.
And Caroline wasn't sure about the goose, but I do have inside knowledge of this. And if you see a goose, just run, because your significant other is a serial killer. Because birds are Satan's.
Your significant other birds. Is an asshole. You see a goose.
I hate them so much.
I do too. I'm with you. Yes, if you see a goose, your significant other, you're destined to be with an asshole.
Okay. That was not, you know, that's not proven anywhere, so don't yell at us, those of you that really like geese, but, you know.
Oh, I'll say it to them. There's something wrong with you if you really like geese. I'm sorry.
They're mean. All right. It was English poet Chaucer who is credited with setting Valentine's Day as a day of romantic celebration. In his 1375 poem Parliament of Fowls, he writes, "For this was sent on St. Valentine's Day, when every fowl cometh there to choose his mate." Valentine's greetings were popular as far back as the Middle Ages, but written Valentines didn't start popping up until after the 1400s. So, you know, back with Knights of the Round Table, King Arthur's court, whatnot. The oldest known Valentine in existence was a poem written in 1415 by Charles, Duke of Orleans, to his wife while he was imprisoned in the Tower of London after his capture at the Battle of Agincourt. Several years later, King Henry V allegedly hired a writer named John Lydgate to compose a Valentine to Catherine of Valois. While these are mild, the Valentine's wishes of old look a little different than the boxes of chocolates and Hallmark cards today.
Yep, so in medieval Europe, lovers would give each other quail's eggs. It was thought to enhance fertility and beauty, along with pheasant, eggs, apples, and pears. So they would give each other eggs, like Easter, I guess, and then eat all those food to help with fertility. Celebrations during the Middle Ages went all out as well. Guests would show up dressed to the nines with tokens pinned to their clothes that were usually symbols of love. And how would the ballrooms be decorated? With candles placed in hollowed out turnips, of course, like some vegetarian jack-o'-lantern. Why are you hurting?
They make a heart shape.
Oh, do they?
They're that rounded out. Yeah. You can make that into a heart easy.
Oh, okay.
And they're pink.
Turn up.
Now, if you weren't single on Valentine's Day, like me every single year, not bitter about it. or were married and wanted your love strengthened, there was an easy solution. You go for a love potion. These were fairly common at the time and were made by combining ingredients thought to influence the body's humors, like garlic, onions, musk, and myrtle.
Yummy.
Says, just love me, like, smelling like garlic.
I do love
garlic. One particular elixir included a mush of earthworms squashed with leeks, I guess, for taste. I don't know.
Yum.
Yeah. I read your part.
You did. It's okay.
If you were wondering where the origin of the elaborate Valentine's cards began, it was not with Hallmark, but with the American Civil War. Another romantic time. Soldiers would send letters to their beloveds that featured lace flaps, which would open to reveal pictures of the couple. The Victorians made it fashionable for stationery shops to sell satin and lace notepaper for love letter writing, because the fabric wouldn't smudge. So I guess can blame the Victorians for the extraness of the holiday. And, you know, they were probably the types that would put, like, the perfume on the letters. Mm-hmm. And so kiss it would smell like you.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do. You ever put perfume on a resume?
No.
I think I've done that once. I think I might have been that desperate. I'd have to think, though, because usually you have to email it in. Maybe I just really wanted to do it. Anyway. So, a horrifying folklore, in my opinion, alleges that you'd marry the first person you saw on Valentine's Day. A British rhyme reads, "When I go out, the first swain I see, in spite of fortune, shall my true love be." This comes from Samuel Pepe's 1662 diary, reports that his wife, who had heard this rhyme, walked around with her hands over her eyes on Valentine's Day so she wouldn't accidentally see the workmen renovating their house. She just walked around with her hands over her eyes so she wouldn't see them and marry them. And if you're looking for a little more assurance on the day of love, we've got a recipe for divining your true love for you. So according to an 1877 English folklore tale, the night before Valentine's Day, men would take 5 bay leaves, pin 4 to the corners of their pillows, and the 5th to the middle. And then this would hopefully, as they sleep, make them dream of the person that they would eventually marry. So there you go. If you want to do that, get some bay leaves. It'll probably make your pillow smell good. And I don't care if it's for men. Women, you guys do it too and tell us what happens.
I mean, I haven't tried that one yet. What was the one that that your grandmother, it was the, what, the cucumber and the, no?
The potato. The cucumber.
What the hell was she doing with the, and the altar and she, it was a glass of something and the. What
the fuck are you talking about?
Glow.
What she did?
She did something to catch you a man, and apparently it worked. What did she do?
She did something with a lemon.
Yeah, so I was about to say it was a lemon, a cucumber, remember. Something.
I can't remember. Yeah. She did something with a lemon, and I totally whatever forgot it was, about it that. Worked. When did she do that? Was it a year ago? Damn, that's weird. I'm less than that,
I think.
I'll ask and call back.
So if bay leaves aren't your thing, there's an 18th century game involving clay. And this one, men and women could both play. You'd write the names of friends and potential loves on a piece of paper, wrap the paper in clay, wait for it to set, and then throw the balls into a dish of water. The piece of clay that floated up first would be the person that you would marry. That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, this seems a lot more fun and gives me some good, like, ghost vibes.
But that's when I'd get somebody, like, you know, like Mr. Bean or something. Like, I would have the worst luck.
Like in MASH when you pick the one random person, yes! Just to have another one, and then that's the one that you get.
Yep.
I haven't played MASH in forever. What a fun game.
Maybe it's coming back. I find those papers all over the floor of my classroom.
Oh, so fun.
Kids are playing.
And the, what do you call those things? I used to be able to make them.
Oh, the cootie catcher things? Yeah.
Is that what you would call them?
Fortune teller. That's what they're still called.
I am not going to call that thing a cootie catcher ever. So please don't ever say those words to me.
I'm just saying.
That's not what we called them. So, as you now know, Valentine's Day had a little bit more flair in the history books, but maybe stick with, you know, just sending one of the 145 million cards that are sent out annually on the holiday instead of ground up earthworms. So.
At least, though, I mean, it could be worse. We could have, like, it could be going into, like, a Valentine's Day, like, the horror movies and stuff. And they could be offering, like, real bloody hearts and things like that. It could have taken a really dark turn.
It could have. That's very Poe. We could actually probably do
heart,
a delivery service and people would pay us for that. We'd just have to find hearts. That would be hard. But anyway. There
I'm
we go.
Let you do that. I'm just. I don't want to do that. Step back and not do that.
Oh man. So there you go, guys. Yes, like we said, we're gonna do every 2 weeks. This one's gonna come out weird because there's no way it's getting edited in time for Tuesday. So it will come out on Friday, as you know. So happy Valentine's Day, guys. And if you're, whatever your plans are, go eat candy and watch Netflix. That's what I'm doing. Eating pizza and watching Netflix.
Yeah, I'll be doing something at home. Yeah. Private practice marathon like I've been doing. I don't know. Who knows? But yeah.
So.
Our next episode is going to be a hauntings episode, and it is going to come out on Mardi Gras Day. So we are going to be doing New Orleans-based hauntings again.
We're going back, y'all. You didn't think we'd circle back. I really didn't think we'd be here long enough to circle back to a topic, but it's going to be relevant, and it's going to be awesome.
There's so many.
I'm so excited. We're going to have to text the people to make sure we don't do the same ones. Yes, yeah. So that will be our next one. Follow us on all the nonsense. It's Hereditary Pod. Look that up on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You will find us. We will post pictures from New York. We will post pictures of our gifts. Haley got me this amazing pillow with our logo on it. It's like one of those mermaid sequence pillows. So I will post a pic of that, and it's amazing. And email us stories or things you'd like to hear about or to yell at us for taking such a long hiatus. We don't care. We just want to talk to you guys because we missed y'all so much. It's hereditarypod@gmail.com. I think
Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah.
Hereditary Pod. Yep. All that good stuff.
Yep. Yep. So.
Yeah.
I have to go finish watching You. The TV show, not Haley.
You're behind.
I know. My roommate and I watched together. We're finishing tonight. So with that, good night, everyone. Sweet dreams.
Night.